Together by Christmas by Karen Swan. Read by Anna Rust. Prologue. Turkish-Syrian border, 2014. I can't believe you got a car. Lee looked around the Spartan interior of the old Toyota Hilux, impressed. Of course I got a car. Cunningham looked across at her and winked, the hot wind blowing his dark hair back, his eyes hidden behind his aviators. She shook her head with a sigh. He could charm the devil. How'd you do it? $50 and all my smokes. She arched an eyebrow. All of them? Well, maybe not quite all. He grinned, reaching into the pocket of his flak jacket and handing some over. She shook her head. You quit? He sounded incredulous. Cigarettes and whiskey were some of the only pleasures to be had out here. Trying to. Those things will kill you, you know. He threw his head back and laughed, replacing the cigarettes in his jacket pocket. Yeah, right. It's the cigarettes that'll get me. She smiled too, dropping her head onto the armrest, feeling happy to be back. The windows were open. The aircon had died in this car long before war had broken out, and she could feel the sun beating ferociously on her arm as it lay flat on the ledge. Her camera lay on her lap, ever ready, but for once she didn't pick it up. She wasn't working yet, and her eyes grazed the empty landscape, looking for beauty. A green tree, a high-flying bird, cattle grazing, some flowers. Instead, they were amid an unbroken panorama of red, baked earth, mountains at their backs, the mighty Euphrates a few miles south. Every so often, they passed a stray coil of barbed wire twisted on the ground, a deep gash in the ground where an IED had gone off, tumbling concrete ruins of what had once been villages, plumes of dust in the sky from not-so-distant gunfire and mortar attacks. She closed her eyes, enjoying the feeling of her blonde hair tickling her face in the breeze, trying to resist sleep. She had only been back out here for 3 days, but those 3 days had been spent on the road trying to catch up with Cunningham since her flight into the military airbase in Hama, the region where they were supposed to have met up. She had gone home for 6 weeks for a badly needed break, but Cunningham hadn't stopped moving in that time. She had left him in Raqqa, he'd journeyed through Hama, seemingly without stopping, and now here they were in Aleppo province, nudging the Turkish border. To Lee, momentarily softened again by her retreat to the land of electricity and hot running water, of luxury cars and feathered beds, it felt like standing on the knife edge of the world, the horizon found and captured with nothing else beyond. The colours, the heat, the noise, everything was raw here. Conditions seemed to have deteriorated in the time she'd been gone. She wouldn't have thought that was possible after Homs, but somehow the level for rock bottom kept dropping down. The road was in desperately poor condition, deep potholes and ruts bouncing them around alarmingly. It seemed unlikely the old Toyota suspension could take it, and yet somehow the little car kept motoring along, blooms of dust in their wake. I saw you hooked up with Schneider. She arched an eyebrow. He looked across at her and gave a bemused laugh. Now don't you get jealous. I had to use someone. I didn't know if you were even going to come back. I said I would, didn't I? He gave her one of his looks, the ones that went where words wouldn't. They both knew how she'd been when she'd left here. Homs had been brutal, a relentless, pounding bombardment that had pulled the marrow from the bones of even the most seasoned reporters. He's not a patch on you, Fitch, and you know it. He gave her one of his famous grins, and she couldn't help but grin back. She did know it. Both of them feeling the adrenaline surge that came from doing this job. By any normal definition of the word, they were mad, driving headlong into a conflict zone and actively looking forward to it. How many assignments had they been on together now? 11? 12? Pretty impressive given the areas they'd worked, given this had been an accidental partnership in the first place. But Homs had been a pivot for them both. She thought she'd seen the worst there was to see. She thought barbarity had lost its shock value for her and no depravities remained to break her heart. Until the barrel bombs had started falling from the skies. Even now, the sight of a helicopter, the sound of its distinctive drone, made her blood stand still in her veins. And what was it for? Why did she and Cunningham put themselves through this, dismantling their own